No.
I'll go get it for you.
We'll find out. You know, you make a good point.
I'm Maureen Jones, and I'm in charge of getting everyone to sign this. And if you don't sign it, then I get fired from my free job. So what I need to do is have you all sign in. And if there was a glitch somewhere where your name isn't on this, just start on the back, sign your name and your organization that you're from, and basically do what's on the front of here, but just do it on the back of the sheet. And then if you run out of room there, start on the back of the next one. And when you fill that out, I'm also going to send around some stickers. If you run out of stickers, let me know and I can go get some more printed up. But it looks like I have... I have 60, and I don't think there's that many more either.
We do.
Okay. I mean, do you need me to get this pen out of your way?
No, we're doing it again. Yeah.
So
not right away, but I've got some people volunteered already in there, so we're set.
So you got some people in there that are going in?
Yes. I wonder if they know they're going in there.
You know what? Why don't we just keep it?
When we get to that part, you guys like to go in? Yeah, okay.
It smells fine in there.
Pine needly.
Can you keep the stickers with the signature stuff? Last time they got separated. Thank you.
You did a very nice job.
Not following the rules. Good job. I've never followed the rules.
That's what I say, for sure. On the desktop, so we'll go off of this bottom corner, just see this, and it's right over there. So we'll start like that. And by the way, you can let those hang long if you want to.
Okay.
So people...
Yeah, no, I...
Yeah, and you can fill in. Feel free to riff and just kind of do your thing. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to jump in. Some of you are here for the second time. Instead of definition of insanity, you can tell by people who have more than one tattoo. Anyone can get drunk once. If you have a second tattoo, you went back. So some of you came back. Now, what I'm going to try to do is do some stuff I didn't do in the other session and still cover some of the stuff I did in the other session earlier, because it was designed to be a repeat. okay, but I'll try to cover some other things. If you think, okay, he's to the stuff that we already had, you need to get up, I don't get my feelings hurt, okay, if you're not getting your knees met. If you sleep, as long as you don't snore loud, I'll just tap you if you snore loud, but if you're tired, I'm cool with that too, okay? So I'm going to just tell you some stories and share some stuff with you, but I want to show you where I've hidden some tasty little prizes in the Cracker Jack. Okay. What, the cool thing about my job is I find a new resource, and I know you're busy. I think about my wife all the time because she's a teacher at K-4, and I think, what would she need? So I try to build for her and my junior high teacher friends and my high school teacher friends. So I try to put resources in places. So at KevinIHet.org, one of the prizes in the Cracker Jack is the Statue of Liberty. Remember I showed you Google SketchUp this morning? Mm-hmm. It's wonderful, and the warehouse is wonderful. But literally, there are so many thousands of things you could find. Unless you really dig looking through the mall, you know, it can take a lot of time. If you love everything about the Civil War, you're going to love the artifacts in there. But if you're a busy teacher like most, if you're at KevinHoneyKid.org and you click that Statue of Liberty, I've pre-parsed the warehouse and broken it into categories. So this gives you quick links right to the stuff in the warehouse. So if you're teaching about dinosaurs, for instance, Allosaurus and Fragilis, what it does, I take you to a preview. You haven't downloaded anything. It's only a preview. It's dating, but not marrying, okay? So your kids could go here and click, ooh, they like this. You can click 3D view, and you could look and say, is this worth downloading? Some of these are freaking amazing, and some aren't so good, because anyone can upload to the warehouse. Now, they screen for nasty or inappropriate content, so I don't mind sending kids to the warehouse. I've never had them run into anything inappropriate. But to save time, this little page could get you there. So if you like that particular thing, you can click download and choose the version and the size and click that. I don't usually have kids downloading a bunch of Google SketchUp stuff on the network, because if they all do it at the same time, you're using bandwidth. And if you don't tell the tech guy you're going to do this, you're going to make an enemy that day. So I always like to tell them that I'm using this. And I sometimes let them tell me what hour of the day is the best hour. If you got kids in the computer lab first, second, and third, and fourth you don't, that's probably a good one to start with if you're going to play with Google SketchUp and downloading. But typically, I go in advance and download the things I think the kids might like, you know, and put them on the server so they can just go get them. Right? So that can be a warehouse that you guys can play with. And I want to give you some permission. If I talk about something today and you jump on your laptop and start doing it while I'm still talking, I'm okay with that. Because, guys, this is like leasing with an option to buy. You're going to go back to work, and you're going to be busy. And about Christmas, you're going to remember some of this and feel a little guilty because you never did it. Well, that's just how it is. So if you today need to close the deal with yourself by going far enough into something to actually know how to do it, if you don't have a laptop with you or a computer, make friends with the person beside you. And if you do have a laptop and you're online, grab that person beside you and pull them in. See, this is a problem. You guys know when you're doing staff development and half the people have them and half the don't, I'm sending you on Safari and you're loving it, and everyone else without them they're looking at you like this, and if I bore these people, it's a pain, right? So I'm going to go up and down. I'm going to go, something you can look at, and I'm going to keep presenting. So I'll be infotainer. That's all I'll try to be during this time here, okay? So let me jump back out of this, back to my site again, and show you where some more things are when you get back home. Back to Central, KevinHoneyKid.org. If you click here where the robot is and the two kids are building the robot, I did this with little kids. They invented it all for a week. I didn't have an invention camp. And if you click that, it will take you to some project-based learning units that I've been doing with kids. And you can steal all of these ideas any way you want. If I can help you with any of these, I would love to. It's not launching way fast, but let me tell you what my philosophy is. I work with at-risk kids a lot, and I've noticed that at-risk kids won't save themselves, but they want to save you, and they want to save the world. If you can give them a chance to feel like they've done that, they'll do amazing things. So one of my units is the artificial heart unit. And the secret sauce here is the circulatory system. Don't say circulatory system. In this scenario, a 12-year-old girl is dying on the organ donor list. Her rich father has contacted us, and he's asked if we'll build her a heart that will keep her alive until she gets her heart. And so we get into this. Even high school kids, jaded high school kids, they like this scenario. They're saving a life here. The truth is, the Trojan Horse curriculum, you can't plumb the thing if you don't know what it hooks to. So they got to know the different, you know, the circulatory system, basically. I don't care if they build it in duct tape. As long as they understand the circulatory system, I'm a happy camper.
So that unit was designed specifically for that. This unit here, Doomsday 1, Mission to Save the Earth.
This is just literal. Kids want to save the world? Here's your chance. Let me show you how this works, and you can steal this. And if I can help you do this, I'll appear in Skype and be whatever you want me to be. I've been the president before. I've been a scientist before. But I happen to have connections at the Cosmosphere and Space Center in Hutchinson, Kansas, which you've never heard of.
I have.
Good. Because next time you're driving through Kansas, pull off of 70, okay, and go south from central Kansas down to Hutchinson, just once. I know we're a good state to just keep going. They say when you're going through hell, just keep going. But Hutchinson has the Cosmosphere and Space Center, which is a Smithsonian-affiliated museum. And they have amazing artifacts from the space race, including the Apollo 13 module, the real one, and the Liberty Bell 7, and Russian artifacts. And they do a great job. You will not believe this place. Well, that the people at that museum will Skype you or your kids standing in front of the Apollo 13 module. They'll turn the laptop around and show the kids the artifacts. They're very open to this. So I partner with them a lot, and they're my friends. And they'll answer the phone when you need scientists to talk to the kids about whether or not their plan to stop the Armageddon asteroid, or what we call Doomsday 1, they'll help those kids. So I'm going to go and show you what this mission looks like. I recently did this with schools in three states at the same time using Illuminate. These were junior high level kids, right? It worked best when the teachers got out of the way and let the kids drive. The teachers that felt like they had to be an expert before the kids could do anything, they were paralyzed. And the ones who threw up their hands and went, okay, figure it out, those kids did amazing stuff. So I'm going to try to launch this page, he said. Suddenly the web stops. Come on, God, please help me make it work. I'll take you through some slides. I have two different ways to show you this: the punt and the field goal. The punt. So here's kind of in a nutshell what the site's going to look like. What I tell the kids is this asteroid is hurtling toward Earth, 35,000 miles an hour. It's an Earth killer. It will liquefy if you do the physics, if you do the math, the surface of the Earth. Now the kids are pretty interested, even in the scenario, right? And inevitably, one kid says, "This could happen." Yeah, it could. We watch very little of the sky, and chances are when we finally spot one of these, it will be a backyard astronomer, and by the time her telescope can see it, it's too late. They're going to know about this, they're going to find out about this, they're going to find out about near-Earth objects, they're going to get very interested. So if you're doing space science, yes, this will help them. There's so much more possible with this unit. At the website, if you go to my site and you click on my PBL units, and when it does launch, you'll see these choices up at the top, and one of them is other people's plans. See, around the world, other countries have plans in case this happens. Rather than start from scratch, I want the kids to see what people in the UK are going to do. Or what does Jet Propulsion Laboratory have in mind? Get up to speed on what we might do to stop this thing. And then on the site, I have a lot of resources to get into physics and math if you want to go that direction. Let me try one more time. How come it worked until we started? That's right, and that's okay. I'll show you what it looks like. I break it into weeks. So the first meeting, they meet the president, and I've pre-recorded a guy who pretends to be president. I tried to pre-record this guy at the rental car place. He looks so much like Obama, but he didn't sound like him, and he didn't want to do it. So a guy from my work who has a PhD, he looks presidential. Just tell him it's the next president after Obama or whatever. Anyway, so there's the guy from the rental car place. He kind of looks like him. I put the Oval Office behind him and everything. Right? Yeah. Anyway, so they see the video, and the president says, "Kids, we need you." You know, and my scenario, the first time I did it was, we gathered the world's top experts into one room, and the kids started working, they started working on a solution. Their solution exploded, and all those people are gone. So now it's you. Help. Basically, we need your help. We need you to learn everything you can about this, and you need to save the world. You have however much time you have. I've done this in 1 hour. I've done this in 5 days, 1 hour a day, and I've done this over 5 weeks. It kind of depends on how deep you want to go and how much time you have. So the kids listen to the president, and then they get busy with the research. I've really done a web quest on the site, just as proof of concept this first time, steal my stuff. So they can go deep and hear other people's plans, they can connect to experts, they're going to have the emails of experts who volunteer their time to talk to your class. And I'm hoping, I always need new experts. Where are my science teachers in this room? I know you're busy. I'm not sure. Right? But I'm always looking for those people. So if you know science people who are retired who still like to connect to kids, keeping that list of people who will help your kids, that's the hardest part, cultivating that list and keeping it going. Okay, so they study the problem. Second meeting, they get together. The kids share what they know so far in their plans, okay? Then we get together, and I always have a soft deadline in the middle of the project. Soft deadline, hard deadline. And DBL, I think this way. If kids crash into the hard deadline and don't make it, they're never doing another lesson. Soft deadline on Wednesday. So let's pretend it's a five-day project. Soft deadline, Wednesday, they present as if they're done, just because I want them to see what they're missing. Most kids think they're this close to being done, and how close are they really, usually. They don't have a sense of time. They think they're a half hour from being done, and they're literally 20 hours from being done. So on the soft deadline, they realize, oh crap, we're not even close. Then they redouble their efforts, and we make it by the deadline. Right? So on the deadline, what they do in here is make a video.
Now, Kevin, if you wanna.
Say again?
It's working.
And did I start recording? Thank you so much. I'll carry it around. I was supposed to record last time. In the end, the deliverable for the president is them doing a video as a team. Mr. President, thank you for your time. Our team worked really hard, and we hope you like our solution. We studied the problem carefully, and after talking to experts from the Kansas Cosmosphere and Space Center, we determined that trying to blow it up was not a good idea. Most of the research shows that it would just come back together, recoalesce, but now we'd get hit by 100 radioactive bombs instead of one giant non-radioactive bomb. So what we decided to do is push it off course with a shockwave. We're going to intercept this asteroid, and this is where some of the kids really get into the physics of the thing, and you don't have to go that deep, but this is what the page has on it if you want to go deep. I put the asteroid on the exact same plane as the Earth orbit, just to keep it simple. Round numbers, 365 days is how long they have in this scenario to stop it. What they're going to find out is that this asteroid orbits, as it comes closer to the sun, what happens to the asteroid? The closer it gets to the sun.
Goes faster and faster.
And what the kids realize, they start to realize this. I've seen fifth graders realize this. Oh my God, it's gaining speed. It's closer it gets to the sun. So they're going to have this opportunity to strike this. Half a year from now, the Earth is here, right? And half a year from now, D1 is exactly here. Most kids will figure out that's our shot. That's our strike point. They'll have names for it. If we're going to do our plan, it better happen here. And a lot of them come up with the idea of a shockwave to knock it off by 2 degrees so it misses us entirely. The first thing they think is blow it up. Lazy thinkers, right? Blow it up. Right? Then I say, prove that'll work. And the scientists say, no, that won't work. What else you got? And then the kids really start thinking. And I love to see this. If you do this and I can help you, tell me, because I need examples of teachers trying this. I can show you this, but if I can't show you a student example, I'm just some guy talking. Right. So if you go deep with this, yeah, go way into the math. You can go, this could be high school level, or it can just be about space science, and kids can be problem solvers. I've seen it both ways. This is a fifth grade video from the last time I did this. They have a sense for the dramatic, don't they? They use Google SketchUp to create the models you see. I don't want to talk about copyright violations. Can we turn it down a little bit? Okay, by the way, my kids were wearing lab coats. My kids were scientists. I mean, I just treat them. We have in scenario and out of scenario. In scenario, we're scientists. My crazy theory is that schools should be laboratories where we are what we're learning. And tell me I'm full of it, I don't care, I'm still trying this. Because as a theater director, just imagine amazing things happen in the theater. The stage is black, non-space, waiting to be something. If I'm directing a Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, this becomes the interior of Big Daddy's house with a tin roof. We have all these things that make it seem real, and all the actors feel real because I've created this space. So I think in the classroom, I'd like it to be non-space, and then we build what we need. And I do it with cardboard. I don't get any money. I dumpster dive, and I find stuff to approximate. And the kids meet me more than halfway at all grade levels, but they love to be something. Even my
jaded kids who at first go, this is stupid, by the end, come on, they're staying after school because they are scientists and they're excited.
I try to connect it to the world as much as I can. Anyway, let me show you. Listen to the music change as they show you their solution. Advice from a physicist who gave them this advice. They're not as deep as they could be with their math and science. They got their titles and the things they do at the end. You can be in and out of one of these lessons pretty quick. I believe it's got to fit your reality. You can't afford to give this a week in curriculum. You got too much to cover. But if you can hook, let's say, get a couple of the kids excited that are just kind of hanging out, you know what I mean? Then that's kind of why I reach out there. Let me see if I can get to the website and show you a couple of resources that are now that we're online. Yay. Okay, so if you go to D1 Home. So if you're on my page, let me show you how to get here one more time. At kevinhoneycutt.org, you're going to click on the two kids and the robot, right? And then you'll end up, if you click the D1 Challenge, here's the president.
Thank you for meeting with me today. As your president, I am calling on you with a problem of the utmost importance. We are in trouble, not only as Americans, but as citizens of the world. A lone astronomer has discovered an Earth-killing asteroid. This asteroid has come to be called Doomsday 1. D1 will strike Earth in the southern hemisphere when the D1 clock runs out. I am calling on your team to devise a solution to this problem, not only for America, but for the entire world. Even the best telescopes have yet to detect this asteroid, but the issue no longer matters. We have confirmed the existence of the asteroid, and we must have a plan that works to rid the world of this threat. I cannot overemphasize the urgency of this issue. We have a very short window of opportunity to implement a plan to save the Earth. The fate of the world is in your hands. Your fellow Americans are forever indebted to you for your hard work and diligence. Your country thanks you, and your president thanks you. Good day, and good luck.
This is my buddy. He's got a PhD. He's a little bit constipated when he's reading, right? So I had to cut the video. It's like Max Headroom a couple of times there. Just real quick to show you interviews with experts. You can kind of see here, these are some of the experts. This is a physics professor from Emporia State University who spent hours talking to the kids from his office. He just let them baste him with questions. And he was so good at his answers. And he didn't give them answers. He asked them good questions and made them go find their own answers. That was brilliant. But anyway, these are the links to people, like this guy here is in the teaching staff at the Cosmosphere, and will answer email, and will Skype if you can Skype, or he'll find other ways to talk to kids. Up at the top here, other plans. This is just a whole sort of page with quick links to the plans other people have for doing the same thing that kids need to do, so they can become right now experts. I'll show you just a little piece of this one.
The U.S. government has at least allocated an annual budget of $4 million for tracking asteroids that might hit us. But there's hardly a dime being spent on protecting ourselves if we do find one. Rusty Schweigart believes he has a way of creating an effective defense system. He intends to build a spacecraft, an asteroid tugboat, that can fly to an asteroid, dock with it, and then gently push it to change its orbit. It may sound like science fiction, but Schweikart believes it will work. He knows the only way to prove that his vision can become reality is a practical demonstration. If it works, humankind could control its own destiny.
We humans can assume responsibility from this point forward, we believe, for protecting the Earth from this evolutionary, historical shaper of life on Earth. And now that we're on top of the evolutionary heap, we don't want to go the way of the dinosaurs anymore.
Schweikart's defense system is a radical departure from previous ideas on how we deal with dangerous asteroids. He believes that trying to move the asteroid with extreme force would have little or no effect. The asteroid would either absorb the punch or would simply reform. Instead, Schweikart proposes a gentle push over a large surface area. But this mission currently exists only on the drawing board.
Of course, to show him this at the very beginning, and it stops the whole blow it up. You know, you kind of show them this, and it also gets their imaginations going, and then they start looking and seeing, you know, all kinds of different ways they can get started. So this is one that they offer you if it's something interesting to you. I'm going to take you through some stuff, and if you were here last session, I'm going to take you through a little bit of stuff I did before, but I'm going to lead into stuff I didn't get to. I'm a big fan of doing technology stuff in school and engaging my at-risk learners, and I'm a big fan because it saved my program. It kept my at-risk kids at school till 5 o'clock. I had to kick them out of my room. They suddenly thought they were Steven Spielberg. I don't care why this worked. It just did work. I noticed this. I had a theater program that was dying. They were going to cut me just every year. It cost $1,000 to do plays, and they were going to cut me. Every year the board was talking about it, and I just felt this desperation. So I've got to keep it. Every kid who gets on stage stands in front of 300 people. What kind of skill is that, to stand in front of 300 people with confidence? I believed in my program, but it was dying. Too small a school. Everyone did sports. Very few people tried out for the play. So I upped the ante. I said, we're going to make a film, a full-length feature film. I had no idea how to make a film, but I knew my computer would make movies, and I had some kids who could do good stuff. We had PCs, so we made the soundtrack on PCs, and we made the video on Macintoshes. And we only had two computers. The Macintosh was our video, and one laptop that was using Acid Pro software to make the soundtrack. So the kids are working on this, and I contact the news media and say, small rural school makes Hollywood-style full-length film. They both called two channels in Wichita one of the exclusives. They were fighting over the exclusive. My assistant director is like, are you crazy? We don't have a movie. Don't bother me with trifles. So they're coming. Now they're coming. Okay, and they're going to point a camera at us, and we got one computer. So to make it...
At one point, this is it. No, it is. It got 28 minutes.
You just can't win
with it. I lost it again.
I got your support.
All right, you did? Cool. All right.
Okay.
I heard that. Way to go, man.
This is a log button. I think it must have accidentally hit it up.
Okay, I'm going to try not to touch it again, but I'm trying to carry it with me so it's not just stuck to the... Hey, yeah. Okay. All right, guys and girls. You know, I'm really brave today because I'm in Montana.
Yay!
The schools of the air in Australia were amazingly innovative schools, radio-based schools. This was a long time ago. You know why? They had to. They were far-flung remote schools, and they needed stuff. When I come to places like this, I find open-minded people who are crazy. They write stuff down and they do stuff, and I'm excited. I don't have to beg you for your permission to think. You seem pretty open-minded, and you know what to tell me. Where to get off, and that's okay. But so I'm going to tell you what I think. I have this theory that video is the closest technology ever invented for mirroring the way brains work. Think about the way brains work. We experience the world usually in motion. Unless we're, you know, stuck somewhere, we're usually in motion, and we remember things temporally over time. People don't talk about temporal learning, but they should. Temporal learning means what you learn over time. It's the story you tell. Now think about the days you had in school. And how easy it is to tell those stories. Most stories would have been, she went to the board and started writing notes, we wrote them down too. Nothing exciting happened that day. So when the kid said, nothing,
That's why, because there's nothing sticking in there. Nothing really happened. Now, it's really hard to do this. But video really literally is a recording of experience. Now, there's lots of ways to do that. But I'm excited because I think it's a pretty good medium. But you got to make it fit the time you have. You can't let it be a time that's hard. I get it,
right? So one of the things, I want to take you down a little thinking path here. Who knows who Dr. Robert Ballard is?
Ballard. He found the Titanic. He's an oceanographer and a researcher, archaeologist, amazing person. Invented the science of ocean archaeology.
Lives
right?
In Whitefish.
Say again?
Lives in Whitefish.
Oh, really? Have you met him?
Yes.
He's the nicest person you ever met. And so I watched him present a few years ago in Wichita, Kansas, and he lit my world up. Now, I wanted to copy him. He was doing the Jason Project, and after he found the Titanic, he got letters from school kids asking if they could come with him on his next expedition. And it touched his heart and inspired him to start the Jason Project, which I love. In the Jason Project, they report the kids in classes from the place where they're doing the work, and they chose kids called Argonauts who got to be the reporters in the field. I noticed this, and I wanted this for my kids. I wanted Kansas kids to teach Kansas history to Kansas kids out in the field. So I tried to rent a satellite dish that would let me get laptops online. Okay, this is 9 years ago. Skycasters would rent you for $30,000 a Skycaster satellite dish that would feed 10 laptops. I tried to get a grant. These were developed for FEMA and the Red Cross. They weren't really made for school. I never did get my grant, and I thought, dang it, I just want this to be MacGyver easy for the rest of us. Right? And then, these happened. I can get 10 people online with my cellular wireless anywhere in the world. And if I'm going through the school's filter, which I can, depending on your filtering system, then we can all be law compliant and portable. Right? So I'm playing in this game. I'm looking for people that want to play in this game. Take kids out into the field with their laptops and have them journaling live, researching live, and broadcasting live. Not perfect yet, but it's okay. It's good. So Robert Ballard wanted to get into the Black Sea. This is the Black Sea, basically a bucket of trapped water. It's different than any ocean in the world. See, in the world's oceans, there's oxygen, and there are these mollusks that eat wooden hull vessels. So any ship that sinks in the world's oceans that's made of wood is gone in 2 years. The world's oceans are like that. So we never find ships, except in the Black Sea. Below 100 feet in the Black Sea, the water is anoxic, which means no mollusks, which means, hypothetically, any ship that ever sunk in the Black Sea is still there. He believed this, and he wrote a book about it, but he couldn't get in there because of the sphere of influence of the Soviet Union until the wall came down. Then he couldn't get there fast enough. He took his lucky ship, the Noor, and they went into the Black Sea looking for ships of antiquity. Right? They start looking. Now, how do you find these ships of antiquity? He's very, very clever. The six-pack of that time was called the Amphora. It was a clay vessel that they transported wine and a popular fish paste called garum in. And so imagine you're on these long journeys on the Black Sea and you're someone working on the ship and you get bored. You break into one of the amphora and you're drinking the wine. You're not leaving that empty, because if you do, you might get flogged. What do you do with the empty? Flunk. A millennium of flunk. And there's a trail of amphora on the trade route. So they start looking for amphora and follow the trail right to a ship. And in the shallow water, they found what you would expect, ships that are largely gone with ballast stones intact. But in the deeper water, they found the first timbers of this ship sticking out of the bottom. The bottom of the Black Sea is about the consistency of jello. Any ship that goes in, boom, closes the door behind them, just waiting there. So they start vacuuming up this jello and get down to the timbers, and they're perfectly preserved. The carpenter's marks are still in them. They get down to the cargo hold. By the way, do I have you yet?
Yeah.
I don't know, right? Kids get excited, too. Okay, so you get down to the cargo hold, and the amphora still have their beeswax seals intact. He thinks they're going to find bodies, not mummies, bodies that look largely like hypothermic people. Now imagine a writing prompt based on what I just told you, okay? It starts like this. They find a body and bring it up. They lay it in the ship, and they forget it. Two shipmates grab one of those things off the wall just for fun. Oh! And he wakes up. Millennium man. Now you recognize him. Wouldn't that be fun? Oh my gosh. So all of this in mind gets me excited because these experiments are really, really cool. So how can we give kids experiences in the field that are interesting like this?
It used to cost this, cost millions. There's a satellite farm in Plano, Texas, where they used to distribute all the Jason stuff, and now we're looking at something like this. So here's what I did. I put a call out there to the Edgyverse and said, will anyone let me try this? And I had this crazy teacher in Colby, Kansas that said, bring it. They had a history museum outside with all kinds of Kansas history artifacts. So we planned for a while. We went in with their kids. They researched their artifacts and did standard reporting and broadcast live. On the iPhone and the Android, there's an app called U, letter U, Stream TV. U, letter U, Stream TV. It's free. You'll do this with kids right away. Let me tell you how to tame the tool, okay? At Ustream TV, you get an account. Basically, you have a TV channel for free. Now, it has ads for free. If you pay, the ads come on. I use it with ads. They haven't gotten me fired yet. So I've got this channel. So now that means anyone who goes to my channel can see what I'm broadcasting live. So I go on my phone and launch Ustream TV, click go live, and it's broadcasting from my phone to that channel, wherever I am in the world. Now, wait a minute. I would not do this with kids without trying it first. I realized I could password protect the channel, so no one could see it but the people I gave the password to. So in the school newsletter, I tell the parents, the next event is this, and this is the password, and I change it every time. Because, you know, sometimes family members or relatives are people you don't want watching the stream. So I try to keep it changing all the time. So I go out in the field, the kids are doing their reports, I'm broadcasting live, grandma's watching, and she's in the back channel. There's a back channel built into the app where they're asking questions. So I'm like, Jason, your grandma wants to know if the Adobe bricks are crumbly or still pretty firm. Good question, grandma. Let's take a look. With this hand, I've got to show you. With one hand, I'm recording with a flip cam. With the other hand, oh, by the way, her report is on the two-seater outhouse. She looks pretty excited, doesn't she?
Is that a trainer?
Questions in the back channel were like, what are the corn cobs for, and stuff like that. So she got to be the expert that day. If you look here, in my right hand is a flip cam, which I hand to the kid as soon as I'm done recording and he starts editing. He has till 3:30 that day to have it online. I'm tough. Because if I give him, you know, kids are an interesting combination of lazy and perfectionist. Kind of leads nowhere, really. So I'd rather you hand in at 3:30 and keep working Spielberg if you want to, but you will hand this one in at 3:30, and that one ends up being the one we use most of the time. So this kid here, he's not a great writer, not a very motivated writer, and he was way behind. We almost kicked him from the project, but I said, no, this is a big deal because he's a great talker. He'll do such a great job, this will excite him. So let's keep him in there. So this is his thing. He had the sod house. I want to show you what his report looked like.
Can you imagine living in a house made of dirt? Well, early pioneers in the 1800s didn't have to imagine. It was their reality. Today we're going to the Purdue Museum of Art and History to take a close-up look at a sod house. But what is sod?
Okay, let me tell you how this kid worked me. He worked me like a rented mule. I'm the cameraman, he's Spielberg. He's like, Kevin, Mr. Rank, I'm doing a context shot at the beginning, a stand-up context shot where you see the whole sod house. Then I want to do an up-close, and then I want to do an interior. So I need you to stand next to the pot-bellied stove, and I'll hit my mark here. I'm like, crap. So I did all the things he said, but he got to be Spielberg, and he did the writing and the research just because.
Sod is squares or bricks of dirt cut out of the grasslands so that the roots of the dirt can grow into bricks, interlocking to hold the house together. Let's go inside and see how the house is holding up. This place looks okay for a building made out of dirt. Sod houses like this one were usually around 14 foot in width and 16 foot long. This was a one-family home that contained one bed, one stove, and a dinner table, and they were all in one room. Imagine spending the whole winter cooped up in your house with all your family members who could be a mother, a father, your four brothers, or little sisters. You would have no privacy whatsoever, and you would have to sleep in the same bed. Life was certainly no picnic for the early pioneers, but these humble houses made life a little easier. Reporting for TCA News and Story Chasers, this is Jordan.
Joy rocked, right? And, you know, leading up to this, he didn't rock. But that day, the kids all voted, and they voted his the best video. Listen to the attitude and the personality coming in at that kiddo, right? But, again, make him pay the bills up front. I do the writing and they hand that in. I'm always the executive producer. I get rights to veto and I make them meet my needs, pay the bills up front. Yes, they want to culminate. Yes, they want to play with the camera. Never until they pay the bills. That's just my hard rule. I'm a worker when I get them out on site. We got this done between 8 and 12. Every kid got their thing done between 8 and 12. We just walked along the path, nailed it, one or two takes, boom, we're off to the big barn. Then we're off to the Prairie Church, under one room schoolhouse, and whatever else. And we came back, posted, moms and dads were excited by that night, and they couldn't wait to share with other people what they had done. So I want you guys to talk a little, this is coming. Kids can download on their cell phone Ustream TV and broadcast the fist fight from your bathroom. If we're not talking about this and role modeling positive behaviors, they're going to use it anyway. With that in mind, what are the things we should be talking about? What are the things we could be assigning to these kids who have these powerful devices in their hands? Talk about that for a bit, and then I'll see what you have to say.
Yeah, I'm about to do it right now.
Right now, I'll kind of show you. Nobody does. Well, Papa John does.
Introducing Papa John's new double-layered premium pepperoni pizza. Just $10 for a large, or get any large pizza with any topping. Just $11. Order now at PapaJohn.com.
I, on the schools where I do that, I have a release. Yeah, I would never do that without a release form. And when I don't have a release form, I post things they do that they're not showing face on cam. Performance, audio, those sorts of things. Can you hold this? No, just kind of hold it for a minute, and then I'm going to see which one of these is the one. I've got like 5 channels going. Okay. Okay, I'm going to grab you up for just a minute.
Now, the thing about Ustream when you don't pay for a channel is you get these ads. Most parents do not find the ads like short commercials.
I don't like the commercials. But, you know, so right now, she's got my phone, and I'm worldwide right now.
Now, someone said, do you do this in school? We always have a release from parents. We don't have a parent release. We show artifacts. We show their dioramas. We let them narrate from off camera, or we show their artwork. We just approach it differently. But if we can do that, sometimes it's interviews with experts. We're talking to the docent from the Fort Larned Prairie Museum, you know, in Fort, and he's talking, and that's just what the kids went out. They did an interview with somebody else that's an adult. There are always ways to strategies like that. When she's done, when she stops, she's going to have the option to archive or just not save it. If she archives it, she can send it straight to YouTube or keep it in Ustream, and it's syndicated television. The last episodes you did, they're watchable, so a parent can go in and watch your last 5 episodes. I did this one night with a school play that I wrote, remember copyright, right? That I wrote. We had about 40 people in the room watching the play and 200 people online watching the play.
Wow.
Of course, the school is very small. They didn't have a big audience, but in the world, they had a huge audience. So if you think about this is doable, and imagine kids doing it. Now, my camera lens is all scratched up because I never keep this in a case. I know, it's my fault. My wife won't even take the hand-me-down phone anymore. But when that thing is clear, it's not bad, and it's nearly in real time. You'll see there's a lag there, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Is it pretty interesting and kind of interesting?
Yeah, very interesting.
So, again, it works on the Android, the Ustream app, and whatever. So what I would want you to do as a teacher is don't even do it with kids. First, just play with it. If you've got a smartphone, then you can do this. If you don't have a smartphone, you can broadcast with a Logitech Quick Cam Pro from Walmart. This is a web-based app. You don't even need software. And experiment that way. And maybe it's just you pointing the camera and teaching this thing and making your own television show that helps kids with math or fractions or phonics or whatever. You can experiment that way. Yeah? Okay. So we'll click stop here. And the minute I click stop, it prompts me, do you want to save the video? I'm going to say no. But if I did, boom, it's just done. Okay? We do home football games with this. We follow Kansas High School Activity Association rules. We don't do regionals. We know what the rules are. But the home ones, we can do it. People can watch the retirement home on one computer, and they're all gathered around that computer watching. It's the most popular thing we ever did. This free thing that we can do, you know?
Do they archive it?
They do, yeah. Now, we have rules, and we follow those rules for state, sub-state, and all of that stuff. You have to do, what is it, offset it by an hour or something? I don't know. We follow the rules. But my kids are getting broadcast experience because they do play-by-play from the press box. Well, it's been a crazy game up till now. Mound Ridge has really come on strong. Yes, they have, and they're doing this really cool banter back and forth. People withstand that for a chance to see the game.
After you archive it, can you put it into, like, a different format?
That's what I...
You can send it straight to YouTube from here.
Okay.
And I don't do that with this channel. But what happens is each one of these has an embed code.
Okay.
So we embed this on our own website.
Right.
That way we don't send... I love Ustream, but there are controversial opinion shows on there, and I don't want Grandma and Grandpa going there and going, is this the school? What's going on with the school? This is
school.
I embed it on the school site with a password protect, and those are the ways I try to tame this free tool. This is one of them out there. There are other ones out there, but this is one that you might find useful or interesting.
And when you archive it, it gives you the embed code?
Every one of those videos, yeah, has its own place for the embed code, but I embed the channel in general. And that way it shows everything live, and they can scroll through past episodes with that one embed.
You can protect your channel with a password.
With a password, right. So anyone on Ustream could never see your stuff. And on the website, well, you share the password with them, and I change it minimum once a quarter, just because. You know, a lot of, when you think about pedophiles, and everyone worries a pedophile is going to find your kids. The statistics tell us a lot of times it's someone known to the family within driving distance. But we don't mind kids' pictures in newspapers. In fact, we're proud about that, and that's more dangerous than any of this other stuff. We need to help parents understand there's always risk, but we minimize the risk as best we can because kids are going to be playing here the rest of their lives. We've got to teach them skills, right? So, yes, the release is good, but also the password. Most parents are happy with the password. Okay, so this has been going on. We have prairie dogs in my town. People in Hutchinson, Kansas hate prairie dogs. I like them, but I don't have farmland or cattle. Okay, so there's this whole colony, and they have sucked them out of the ground and transplanted them 3-4 times. It's kind of a big deal. They're right across from the office where I work. So I go out and try to shoot video, because I want, you know, students study rodents and ecosystems and prairie dogs, literally. So I'm thinking, I'll go shoot some video. So I go out there with this great camera, and the minute I stand up, you go out there, they're gone, right? And I stand there for like an hour, and they don't come back. They're just gone. So I think, crap, how could I get some footage of these things? So I went and got the little tiny iPod, right? At first I started with the flip cam. The flip cam has a problem. The flip cam shoots video for 30 minutes and then shuts off to save power. Okay, when you scare prairie dogs, it takes exactly 31 minutes for them to come back. I know this. I spent a whole day with it. What I did was put my flip cam inside a styrofoam cup and cut a hole for the camera, and I put it on the ground near the prairie dog colony. And then I went back over here and waited. Then they finally came out and went, oh, it's beautiful footage. This is Animal Planet. Good stuff. I go over there and I don't have a single bit of it because this dang thing shut off. So I end up getting a little iPod and put it in the toilet paper roll. It's actually stuck in the ground with two paper clips. Now, why do I make it look like trash? So no one will steal my freaking iPod. Because people walk through that mall area, and who knows, someone might beat me to the thing, grab it and run, and I'll be stuck. So it's in the toilet paper tube. But, you know, I put dog food at the base of it. It kind of lures them over closer to the camera, and I get footage that is really cool. In the old days, you had to build a blind. You're paying a union guy. It costs thousands of dollars to get that kind of footage. Now you can make your own blind to capture nature. So this is the video. It looks like Caddyshack coming on, if you watch this.
This cute.
Now, if you change the camera angle, there's cars going by and a train on the other side. But from this angle, it's all pretty. He moons the camera and then leaves. Looks like he's dead for about 15 seconds, and then, boom, he's gone. Okay, so it took me the better part of 6 hours to get that.
But I was learning. Don't use a flip cam, dog food. Those are my lessons learned that I share with you. But now, if you're having kids do this with these tiny little devices they have, what are some things you could point them at that would be really good things? Now, if you look, think about the world, you know, if this thing has changed, what could you do? What I did was bring this footage back to the elementary school and said, all of you use the same footage, but you can do your own narration. Mm-hmm. So that for the price of doing the footage once, and I guess every kid's different, right? Some of them are like, there's also American prairie dog. It's just amazing. But it's going to be interesting. Like, and some of them are hiring talent to actually do the voiceover for them. And I don't care as long as they're doing the writing.
But what I want you to do is think for a minute and talk for a minute about this idea. First of all, is it crazy? And second of all, even at recess, what's outside your school is actually good teachable stuff. You can bring that footage in and have the kids. They're excited about the footage. But you're getting writing and research out of them too. Talk about that a little bit, because that has changed everything, the size of this stuff. Go.
Yeah.
That's writing, that's research. I don't even know how to evaluate that. You know what I mean? That's deep.
That's beautiful. I think of technology, call me a flake, but I think technology is a kind of time machine. Stay with me here. Stay with me. Hold on. Imagine a civil war. I'm in my uniform. I'm about to go off to war. I've got my, you know, got my gun, and I'm pointing this box camera. Someone's pointing it at me, and I'm holding still, and I get my picture taken. Just this picture. Just this. Exactly this. And I send that through time all the way to now. It made it all the way to now. Probably farther. But I couldn't send me just this one picture. Just this narrow slice of who I am through time. Old newspapers. I love it. Ken Burns, Civil War. I've seen that series 17 times end to end. I love it. Because here are these people peering into the future, sending a ghost of themselves into the future. Now think of what our kids have. They can send themselves with almost perfect fidelity. Not a frozen moment, not a letter of what you thought when you were 16, but really me talking. The things I was like, what it was about. Grandma can talk to her great, 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 great grandkids. I'm on fire for that. I want Grandma to blog. I want Grandma to leave for the great grandkids. These kids need mentors. But I want our kids to think about that as a sort of a kind of time machine. Turns out you can't make one, or no one has yet, but you can kind of. If you call it time machine, everyone's excited. If you call it photography, and some are excited. Is that just crazy that you want to walk there and kind of slowly pick you up, maybe possibly?
Okay, so as my kids are waiting for the footage to happen, I'm not wasting time. We're sitting on the bus doing animal adaptation forms.
Sorry.
Because that's in our standards, right? Observation, scientific method, whatever. We're not wasting time. So this is my form that I invented for them to do on the bus while they're watching. By the way, this finds its way to their script that goes with the footage when we get back to the classroom. So they're just going off the fact that they themselves observe. And a lot less likely to have plagiarism when they start the thing themselves, right? Interesting?
Yeah.
It's simple, right? But that was just me sitting there going, crap, this is taking a long time. Okay, I'm going to jump out of here. Oh, I've got to share this with you. And again, some of you go to sleep for a little while if this is too much for you.
How do you find time to learn and support all this stuff? How do you do that? And one of my favorite networks, and I haven't talked about it all day, and I'm going to.
Twitter's awesome, but Twitter's not my favorite thing. Plurk is my favorite thing. Plurk sounds like you're horking up a hairball. Plurk.
But don't give up on me yet, okay? Plurk is like Twitter, but different. Twitter is wonderful. It's facts, 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 facts. Fishing lures are designed to catch fishermen. And Twitter is designed to catch nerds who can't wait to know what the next cool thing is. But Plurk is different. Plurk is more like a faculty lounge where teachers talk to teachers and have full-blown conversations. And it's not popular. There's not a million billion people on here. That's why I like it. It's different. So, for instance, if I say something in Plurk, if I say, Kevin, by the way, I have an account here. Kevin says, hello, friends. Hope it's a good day where you are. Okay, so I'm always optimistic, of course, and I say nice things. Now, where did that go just now? It went up there to my timeline, and anyone who clicks it can drop it down and say hello back. All right? And it stays together. That thread stays together. But I also forward to Twitter from here and Facebook from here. So I just said this in Plurk to 2,422 teachers. But I have 5,500, somewhere in that ballpark, on Twitter. So I set it to 2,400 plus 5,000 plus my 1,000 on Facebook. You see the magnifying effect? How quickly that can get out there? I don't have time to live on Twitter and Facebook. God, I don't. I live here. I picked one. This is the one I picked. If you send me a private tweet, I'll get an email and I'll talk back to you, but I can't live there. Just, God, I'm 44. I can't freaking live in all these places. I just can't. So I chose this one. You got to choose. So, but who do I collect here? Teachers. And not just teachers, positive teachers. If you talk about you don't like your kids or you don't like your boss and you're negative, I'm sorry, but I can't afford you. Life is hard enough. I don't want to be negative all the time. If you post something, if you drink and Plurk, I can't be your friend. Because I can never have something embarrassing on my screen. I'd be fired. So I can never do that. So what I do collect is amazing, amazing teachers that care about their kids. And I can promise you that if you follow me on here, so if you go to Plurk.com and get an account, find me. How do you find me? Plurk.com/Kevin Honeycutt. You'll end up on my page. If you have an account, you can click friend and follow. And from now on Plurk, you'll see everything I say, everything I learn, I share.
I also talk about my family, my dog, and barbecue. Sorry. I'm a human, though. I heard a principal one time say, I don't care what my teachers had for breakfast. And I said, then they don't care what you want. If you don't like them enough to take an interest in their personal life, why would they care what you want? Teachers are freaking human beings. If you tell me on Flirt that your daughter is having chemotherapy, I'm telling you that I'm praying for her because I'm real. I'm not just there for the information. That's not how I'm wired. And I think a lot of teachers are this way. They don't want just the facts. They want connections. Relationships. They want to know who you are.
If you get a Flirt account, you got to move in. And that means you got to put a profile picture in and say something about yourself. If you don't, it's going to say 36-year-old woman. No one will friend you.
You can be anyone. Who are you? You know, teachers are careful about who they friend. You don't have to say that you live in Montana, but at least say, teach third graders with a passion. Wake up in the morning to change the lives of junior high kids. Whatever. Say something that makes teachers go, that guy's cool. I like him. Right. That's just netiquette, what your kids do on Facebook every day.
Badly sometimes, right? So, in your profile, I'm 44 years old, I'm an artist in the tech integration who's married to the best woman in the world, and I have a great son. And my podcast, a little bit about me. That's so you know who I am and who you're following. I've customized the CSS on this page. By the way, I couldn't do it again for $1 million.
The night I wanted to, I Googled CSS because I didn't even know what it was. Cascading style sheet. I don't know how that works, but I Googled enough to figure it out and put my dog up there and customized it because I didn't want to look like a newbie. If I look like a newbie, no one will friend me because they think I'm not going to stay. People don't take the time. So I moved in and I changed the colors around a little bit.
So before you got here, I said hi on your behalf to a lot of people for you. I said, let me just go to my clerks here. Getting ready to talk to Montana teachers, say hi to them. And I put a link to the hashtag for this conference because what I'm trying to do is get more people to come to this conference and know about this conference. I'm pimping you guys, okay? So if I click the drop down, since I said that, 30 people have said hi to you. Hello from Northwest Missouri. Hello from Corvallis High School grad. Ooh. Hutchinson, Kansas, Chicagoland, Northern Arizona, Hutchinson, Inman, Kansas. They're in for a treat. Kevin Rocks, Valley Falls, Kansas, Fayetteville, Arkansas, Mound Ridge, Kansas, Milwaukee, hello from Milwaukee, don't blink, El Paso, Texas, Mound Ridge, Hutchinson, Kansas, Roanoke, Virginia, Mound City, Kansas. You will love Missoula. Yes, I do. That's Jay Mayfield. Do you know who she is? Yep. Hello, 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 hello from Henderson, Tennessee, Dallas, Texas. This afternoon, Australia will start coming on. Now imagine you're looking for a collaborative classroom connection. You need someone to connect to your kids, and you're just looking. Could you fish for that here if you had a network? And how do you get a network? Steal mine. Unless you want to take a bunch of time, there's a site you can go to if you want to grow this from scratch. If you go to Plurk number 4 teachers, plurk4teachers.pbworks.com, there's a wiki that's a directory of all the teachers who Plurk. You can put in Plurk 4 Teachers, number 4, plurk4teachers.pbworks.com, and you can go into subject matter. Oh, elementary teachers, science teachers, physics teachers. If you want to just collect people who do exactly what you do, you can do that. I recommend you just go to my page and steal my phone. They're cool people. Some people get on Plurk and they complain to me. This Plurk thing is useless, Kevin. How many friends do you have? Plurk buddy. That's a robot to keep you from being alone. You have made no real friends yet. You're talking to no one. Some people get there and they don't get netiquette. They just showed up and they're asking for things. I need resources for math. Who are you? It's like going to a party and going, I want a beer, this is someone to dance with now. You just got here, man. Give a little before you shoplift, okay? Share some stuff. So if you get on Plurk, you know, share. And always share and don't worry if they already know stuff. A lot of people are shy about this. They don't share because they're afraid everyone always knows stuff. The truth is, if you share a new link, something you just found today, 100 people have never seen it and they think you're God. They're just thrilled that you shared it with them. So never hesitate to share something that you're excited about or that you like. If you drop a picture link in here, the picture shows up in the timeline. If you drop a YouTube link in here, the video plays in the timeline. So all you got to do is go to that URL on YouTube and drop it in one of these. Of course, it will be blocked by the school's firewall. A lot of schools don't block Plurk because they don't know what it is. But the mobile version is a big deal. Okay, so
I'm forwarding work to Twitter, to Facebook, and so I travel constantly. I was home 2 days last month and 3 days the month before. I'm in airports. That's my life. Okay. I asked for it. Hey, I got it. So my luggage doesn't always go where I'm going. This is a problem. Okay, so my luggage went to Denver, but I'm in El Paso, and I complained about that on forwarded Twitter. And I said, Greg, 3 days in El Paso with no luggage. So Kimberly W., third grade teacher in El Paso, sends me a private message and says, what size do you wear? I had a choice to make. If I lie, I've got to wear it, you know, whatever it is. So I told her, kind of, and she went to the outlet mall and bought me three outfits and met me at the airport.
Oh.
I paid her on the spot. She solved my problem before I landed. That's pretty freaking amazing. One more story. I'm on the Lakota Reservation in South Dakota. My job that morning was to inspire tired teachers, shell-shocked, worried teachers, you know. So I'm out of my depth. I've never been here before. I'm Kansas boy, suddenly on Lakota Reservation. So I felt already a little weird. Anyway, you know, how does my examples go with their examples? I'm insecure. Just before I started talking, this woman comes up to me and in my ear says, please talk about the issue of teen suicide. We had 11 in the high school last year. I almost collapsed. Sometimes you just can't hear something. I totally freaked out. I'm ready to run now from the room. So I go on to start, and just before I start this, I turned off the projector and said, does anyone know anything about the issue of teen suicide in Lakota populations? South Dakota Sherry, who's already said hi to you here, teaches in a school with Lakota kids. She said, chill out. Got your back. Here's some ideas, resources, and suggestions that I had. 5 minutes before showtime, this woman had my back. That's pretty powerful. To have that in your back pocket on your worst day. One day I made a big mistake. I've got all these thousands of friends, and I said, guys, I'm going to sleep. I need a wake-up call. Can someone call me? The phone almost burst into flames. What's cool is that with all those people following, I can bring a lot of attention to somebody really fast. Now, if you have this network, you can bring attention to your school fast, resources, grant opportunities, partnerships. There's benevolence to that. And I've been telling school leaders, let's build funnels that come back to our schools and help us through these hard times. And this won't be for all of you, but let's say you do it. You're the only one in your school that does it, thank God. But now I can go to you, and you're smart, but your network is brilliant, and you can bring that to me. As a leader, I want that. My boss does not tweet, and he does not flirt, and that's okay. He's got a million things to do. But he trusts me, and I do. And I bring him the best of what's next. Guys, I'm only doing this because I'm connected. That's how I got to know stuff. I'm a minute ahead of you, maybe. But you can outsource me quickly by growing your own network. So do that. And you won't need that expert anymore. You can do something I call self-directed staff development. You'll never need again. My wife doesn't have time for IT to get to her room. She has an answer to that because she's connected. If you're looking at software before you pony up the money, ask a few thousand people what they thought. And looking at apps for the iPad, by the way, if you are, how many of you are looking at iPads at least down the road, thinking they might be coming? Okay, there's a site I have to show you, and you've probably seen it, but it's I, and you spell ear, I-ear, ieducationappsreview.org. Here's what it is. It's a network of teachers helping teachers, and what they do is recommend and vet apps. No salesmen allowed, only teachers. And what they do is talk about the ones they think are best from a teacher's point of view. So before you spend money and start looking at these apps, what might it be like if you join here? The guy who started this network is named Scott Meach, and he's the nicest guy in the world, lives in Chicago. When I went to Chicago, he let me stay at his house, and it was really late that night, so I go to bed, and I wake up the next morning, and I look over, and it's a picture of him and his wife in their wedding clothes. And I realized I was in their bed, and I realized they didn't have two bedrooms. And then I walk downstairs, and she's sleeping on the couch, and he's in the bunk bed with the twins, and I'm like, crap, they came in their bed, man. I feel terrible, man. I said, I cannot sleep in your bed. Then you'll have to. Now listen, I'll stay in a motel, but you're not putting me in the wedding bed again. That's how nice they are, okay? This guy is a nice guy. At the top of this, if you're kind of into lists, if you click lists of apps, they have aggregated lists of apps from these different places and states, their favorite apps. TCEA happens to be an amazing one. So if I pull up this spreadsheet. Content area. There's a lot there. So before you jump in, wouldn't it be nice to have that in your back pocket? Yeah. These are ones that have been used by other people already. They've already test-driven these things. How many of you are thinking of jumping on there right now? Cool.
I got a couple more things I've got to find here real quick because I want to show you, but I'll dig in here while we're talking a little bit later. Anyone else live like this?
Yeah. I'm like Carrot Top, but I can't find anything, so that's okay. I wanted to show you something, though, while I have a moment. This morning, I was showing you guys Google SketchUp, remember? Well, there's something I didn't show because I got in a hurry, and I want to show you now. Google SketchUp gives you the ability to do a pretty cool thing if you download an app called AR Media for Google SketchUp. AR space Media. You can download a module. Raise your hand if you're pretty geeky. Own it. Go ahead. Own it. That's all right. Yeah. Okay. We make friends with those people, right? Those are the people who help me. So I'm going to launch Google SketchUp. I'm going to launch that brain thing I showed you this morning. Recent and brain. This is worth turning off the lights for, but let's not do that yet. Okay? Then, with this software, you download this picture. Okay? Then your webcam sees this picture and puts the kids' work on this picture. This works on an iPad, too, or if you print this on a T-shirt, too. So let's see what happens. AR Media, I click the eyeball, it launches my webcam and starts looking for this picture. You can use this for free for 30 seconds at a time, but if you pay, you can buy a license copy. If you decide to buy a license copy, and I think you're thinking about $250 or so, it sounds like a lot. If you do that, my recommendation is put it on one computer and use that as the presentation machine that all kids use in the school. I think that's the best way to use it. I'm going to click OK here, and we'll see what happens. Now, when you get this wrinkled too much, sometimes, yeah, there it is. Now, if I had this printed on a pristine piece of paper, I hadn't planned to show anyone, so it's all wrinkled, but print this off yourself, and it's actually gorgeous. So the kid can hold the brain in the palm of their hand and basically do their report by showing you like this. Now, imagine at the elementary level, the kids are wearing this on their shirt, and they walk out, they're doing their musical, and it's a green bean floating in front of them. I am the green bean. I am. Good for you. Yeah. And mom and dad are like, oh my. Take that to the board meeting. I know how board members think I am one. Someone's going to say, what's this cost in the district? Let the kids answer the question. Oh, it's free. Our teacher found it. You're welcome. This gets me darn excited. How many of you think that's pretty cool? That's pretty cool. Yeah, isn't it? That you can do that for kind of free. I want to pull out the wildest stuff with you guys, and I don't know why, but I just do. How many of you are already on Plurk and you're checking that out? Okay, cool. Make sure you friend me, and here's what I will do. If you friend me, I will out you. I will say, please say hello to my friend, Bionic Math Teacher, and I'll put your Plurk name, and I'll put an at sign in front of it, which makes it clickable. Then my whole Rolodex will come to you. And then if you watch your alert at the top left, that number will go up and up and up and up. Those are friend requests. Front porch greeters are coming to find you. And then nice people, because they don't have to do that. So everywhere I go, I get new friends. You guys will be greeting people from Brainerd, Minnesota tomorrow, because that's where I'll be, you know. Hopefully you'll be nice to some of them people. We just keep building a movement. Basically a movement of helping people who help each other. I'm constantly collecting conversational lubricants, things that move hearts and minds, right? This is one of the ones that I like. I love Google Docs. I want kids to collaborate on projects from across the world, to do things together, but getting them to do this is not always easy. So I show them this video. This videographer, he went out and he had a simple idea. What if I have people sing this song, and everyone does a different part of the song, and we put it all together, and it goes around the world. So he used the song Stand By Me. And he started with street musicians, some of them homeless, one of them blind, that's Pappy, that's one guy from New Orleans, and he puts headphones on them, and the next person listens to the last person, and they add their piece of the music, and it just kept going. Well, I show this to open hearts so kids are like, let's do it. And it might be a Google Doc book we write together. It doesn't have to be music, okay? But this inspires me.
This song says, no matter who you are, no matter where you go in your life, at some point you're going to need somebody to stand by you. Yeah. no matter where you go, in life you're gonna need somebody to stand by you. No matter how much money you got, all the friends you got, you're gonna need somebody to stand by you. When the night has come and the land is dark and that moon is the only light we see, no, I won't be afraid. I won't. She won't be just as long as the people.
Out, and a whole bunch of people add their stuff and make one cool thing out of that.
There's so many ways we can do this now. And by the way, kids can brainstorm and help us figure out how to do this too. We don't have to know how. We just have to want to. We could give them ownership over how we do these things. Voices from around the country, voices from around Montana. I want you to think about and talk about with your shoulder partner just for a minute about the possibilities. First of all, we hook them with this, and then what do we do next? What could we do next that's exciting, that's relevant, and the next that touches curriculum? Learn it. Talk about that for a minute, and we'll do something else right after that. So, go.
By the way, if you look at Stand By Me on YouTube, you can pull out that video. How we doing? Still recording?
Yep.
Yes, it's recording. Yes. Hey, do you play drums?
I'll find someone.
I play the trombone, keyboard.
Cool. I bet you can keep time though.
Yeah. You're going searching for tools and all that.
No. No, so
pretty cool.
I'm all over this, man. It's huge.
Alternative2.net. That's one of my new favorite sites, man. Awesome.
One of my favorite. But I share it with you.
Thank you.
Share it with the world.
Awesome, dude.
I know you like something.
That's exciting. Woohoo! Thank you very much. I'm going to let you talk about that. In just a second when I bring these guys back, okay? No, no, no. Okay, guys and girls. We're coming up to sort of the end game. Tell me your name again.
Doug.
Now, by the way, Doug had this awesome idea. He just gave me a new tool that I'm going to steal. I'm going to let him tell you about this tool, so please hold forth.
Okay.
By the way, give it up for Doug, ladies and gentlemen.
Would I be able to go there on...
You could, if I'm online, but I'm not. But did you describe it, basically talk about what it does?
So, I know about the site called alternative2.net. And what it does is basically it gives you the option to search for alternative to software. You can get, like, free software or paid, whatever you need. You can filter by license, filter by platform. So say you want to find your school can't afford Microsoft Office. You go there and Google Microsoft Office, or search for Microsoft Office, and find free alternatives you could download and use in your school. Stuff like that. Alternative 2, it's alternative2.net.
Sorry. Try to get on here real quick.
Try to get on.
I think we'll be on here.
Okay.
Like, let's see if we can get there now.
I know that he was talking about dumpster diving earlier for a lot of free tools, and this is definitely, I don't know if you knew about it, but figured help him out and figured help you guys out too.
Give it up for my guy, Alternative 2.net. That's just an example of how much our kids can kind of teach us. And this is my new find. I'll be talking about this everywhere I go because you spoke up. Thank you for that. I want to show you a few apps. I wouldn't talk about this if my school wasn't doing an implementation 712 iPads this year. Now, you might be going, how did you get there? It's what the Budgetary Times Kansas is having, Kevin. Thank you for asking that question. Framing. We're about ready to turn over our platform and get new netbooks. They were specking out about $6.99 per netbook. So we asked the teachers, what would you like to have? There are these iPads for $4.99, and there are these netbooks. Well, we'd like to save money, but tell us more about this, Kevin. So we did some workshops, and we showed them some things, and we put them in special ed in Title I. It rocked the world, put them in special ed in Title I, and we had the teachers do a use-lease agreement. They reported on a spreadsheet what they were learning, what apps they were using, and the results they were getting, and give that to the school board once a month. Well, we had that. You could see what was going on. We saw there were big things happening, and we got excited when the teachers noticed, too. We said to the taxpayers, look, we love your kids. We got to get them ready for the future. These things are $4.99. We'd like to use them. We're also going to explore e-books, open source textbooks from California's Open Source Textbook Initiative. How many of you are familiar with that? We got an eye on that. You can go build a custom textbook on their site right now. They're not perfect, but they're getting better. But I think we're going to see textbooks commoditized pretty soon. They're going to be e-book format and $7.99 a book, not $120 a book. And what do they weigh? What do they weigh in a backpack? Books. What if you can put them on in one iPad and all your textbooks are there? We told the taxpayers, we're not doing this in 1 year, but we've got dogs in the hunt. We're going to go after this for you. We're going to look for apps that change kids' lives, basically. And once people understood what we were trying to do, we didn't have to fight a lot. In fact, it just sort of happened. Now, we got to support this now that we're doing it. So I want to show you a few apps that I think are pretty stellar and pretty amazing. The Civil War is like one of my favorite apps because basically, it gives me a newspaper, this day in history, during the Civil War, the whole time the Civil War went on. So a kid can pull up a newspaper and see a quote of the day. They can scroll through here. It's an interactive newspaper that just talks about the Civil War. I'm going to go kind of fast through some of this. One of my favorites, this is the elements, the periodic table of elements in one app. My kid was in high school learning the periodic table when I got this, and he was really jealous. He had it in the textbook. I had it in an app. So let's click one element. I wonder what happens if I click Wolfram Alpha. Oh, I can do deep level research on that element right inside the app, so I can go as far as I want to.
What is this one called?
The element. I'm going to click this guy, and it's going to show me all the ways we use that element in society. Okay, when I saw this, I went, crap, this is going to be textbooks. Textbooks are going to be interactive, and they're going to change every time an update happens. It just happens, like USA Today. That app is new every morning. I get media midway through the day, replacement media, fresh stuff. Books are going to go this way. So I got this kind of early and paid a lot for it, because when these things are early, sometimes they're a bit pricey. Because they have to pay the bills, and I get that. I understand that. My Congress gives you access to everyone in Congress and their voting record up to the minute, and the ability to contact them right now from an app. Talk about current events and government. Woohoo! It's one of my favorite apps. Want kids to be aware of what's going on? My Congress. Now, this is World War I and II in an app form, and it's not pretty. But it's this one, I believe, was free. Enter. I'm into World War I, World War II, opening hostilities. This is pretty flat, but you know what? The price is right, right? I'm going to jump out of here real quick, see what else I got close by. Art Authority. Any art teachers in the room? I paid $1,000 for large reproductions from Davis Publications, just for big pictures, and I only had like 30. And on the back, it had all the information on the front. It was pretty. I laminated them and protected them for 10 years. Right? They're awesome. This app, we're talking probably $5 or less. What do? They don't own all this artwork. They RSS feed it from the museum to the app. So you can basically see all of these artworks. I've got some weird thing happening with the projector, but let's pretend it's not happening and zoom in. Okay, so now I'm into the museum.
What was that one called again?
I'll go back. On the way back out, I'll show you, okay? So let's go into French art here. Let's look at the different artists. Let's go here. Takes a second, delivers, right? So here's the picture. By the way, I can zoom in and see that picture, I mean detail. It links to the museum or any place where these artworks are being streamed. So it could be a blog or it could be a podcast. It recognizes links and delivers them to the app. And you have to be online to do it. This is one of my favorites that almost no one's ever seen called VoiceBand. It's a music app. I'm going to see if it works. Okay. It takes the kid's voice and turns their voice into an instrument. So as long as they're on pitch, they are that instrument. So imagine the kid who always wanted to play music but can't play yet. You just want to get them started. So let's see if I can launch this thing again. I'm going to put it on my larynx. Power. Voice band. Let's look at drums. They have a drum app called Kick Snare. Loud is the snare. Low is the kick. It's right here, right? Of course it does organ, synthesizer, bass guitar, saxophone. Amazing? Kind of amazing? To me, this app is a landing pad for kids who just aren't convinced yet, right? You want to give them something that gets them excited and gives them enough that they can actually do a performance. Okay, so I've got like 1 minute left. Oh, there's so much stuff I want to show you. I'll end with this one. How many of you have seen this app? Talking Tom. A lot of people have seen it. A lot of people have judged it, and they think they know what it is. I'm asking you to think new. Think new. Talking Tom is basically a little animated cat that hears what your kids say and repeats it back to them. Nothing? Something? How about that kid who really needs to work on their diction, right? They're struggling with voice. They put on headphones, and they practice with this cat. And I've seen kids engage with this for an hour. Kids who need to build vocabulary. Kids who don't want to read in front of the class. Talking Tom could be their surrogate reader. So let's just watch this. My name is Talking Tom. I am a cat.
My name is Talking Tom. I am a cat.
When the teacher makes me read in front of the class, it makes me feel very sad. Talking Tom reads for me.
When the teacher makes me read in front of the class, it makes me feel very sad. Talking Tom reads for me.
If I click this camera up here, I can record Talking Tom doing my narration for me. So, special ed teacher stayed after one time when I was talking, and she said, I just want to tell you that that cat, we had a little girl in our class who hadn't spoken out loud for 3 years. No one had ever heard her talk. We walk in, and she's talking to that cat. And she hasn't stopped her. So, what's this worth? It's a free app. What's it worth to that girl? It's all in the way we see it. Thanks, guys and girls.
What did you buy for your school? What kind of
iPad 2. We're just calling them. They're brand new and we're rolling.